You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. Joining me is Bill McGraw with Bridge Magazine. He's one of the reporters working with the Detroit Journalism Cooperative. Your story in Bridge is an extensive look at the Detroit Police Department and its chief. The Detroit Police Department has had frequently a troubled past, particularly in how it treated African Americans. So what do we know about being black, say, in the 1940s or 50s, and to see the police headed your way?
That was problematic, as anyone who's above about 50 years old can talk about in Detroit today, any African-American citizen. The police department was overwhelmingly white until the 1970s, as the city was becoming increasingly African-American. So there was bound to be conflicts, and there were. And the police department was, and let's stipulate, it's a really hard job. And any hour, there can be a volatile situation. However, just like today, the report about Chicago, you know, the department has a huge problem with racist behavior and treating black people different than they treat other people. And that was a problem with the Detroit police really until, like I said, the 1970s.
Even after the Detroit Police Department became a majority black force, it still had a reputation for incidents of police brutality with its citizens. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, the change to a black-led city. When Mayor Young got elected in 1974, the first African-American mayor, he quickly instituted an affirmative action program that changed the department's complexion very rapidly. In like the late 80s, the poll showed that black Detroiters appreciated the change and noticed the change and felt like there had been a significant change in how they were treated. But something did go wrong. Through the 1990s, and of course in 1992, Chief Hart was convicted of embezzling over $2 million from the department. He'd been chief for over a decade. And then in the late 90s, reports started surfacing in the Free Press, among other media, things like the department was shooting civilians at a higher rate than any department in the nation, even New York, Chicago, L.A. It also was making sweeps of witnesses. In other words, if you were somewhere around where a shooting took place, they would just put you in a car and take you downtown until they got your statement, which was unconstitutional. Many people were dying in their lockups. They were paying out huge amounts of money in civil litigation. It was so poignant in a way that even a department that had turned around to a certain extent as far as its racist behavior of the past, even a majority black department, black-led with an African-American mayor, was having problems dealing with its citizens.
And the Department of Justice had to step in.
They stepped in at the invitation then of Mayor Archer. He saw what was going on. I think he was kind of shocked, and he invited the Justice Department in. They did an investigation, and then they signed an agreement with the city, these so-called consent agreements, that you do this, and we're going to monitor you, and when you get your act together, we'll leave. That was 13 years ago. The monitoring just ended March 31st.
You dedicated a fair amount of the time profiling the current Detroit Police Chief, James Craig. What kind of chief has he been so far?
Well, I think one good metric he likes to use, he's one of these data-driven individuals.
Oh, he and Duggan ought to get along well then.
And so far they appear to be. And now remember, the chief was hired by Kevin Orr, the emergency manager. Duggan inherited him, but a year ago, Duggan gave him a 2-year extension, I believe, on his contract. So the chief's third anniversary will be coming up. Speaking of data-driven, the Free Press did a very scientific poll in December. His approval rating, Chief Craig's, was 75%, which is amazing for someone in a position like that. Duggan, who is very popular in Detroit, his approval rating was 60%. And any indication, even the DPOA, the Detroit Police Officers Association.
That's the union.
That's the union. They've been at odds with mayors and police chiefs for decades. The current leader, Mark Diaz, had pretty positive things to say about the chief, that he listens, that he's been an advocate for the officers, that he cruises the streets, he shows up at roll calls, talks to them what's going on the streets, and they really appreciate that.
You also talked to the Detroit Coalition Against Police Brutality. What did they say about James Craig?
And they're the ones that have been fly-specking what the police department's been doing for many years under the leadership of the late Ron Scott. The current spokesman, Ken Reed, had also positive things to say. He said that he thinks the jury is still out, but he sees positive things going on. And, you know, that group and the other groups in Detroit that watch over the police department, their main activity recently has been in the suburbs, particularly Dearborn, where there's two investigations that are still going on about two unarmed black people who were shot by white Dearborn cops around Christmas time.
Can you determine whether Detroit is a safer city since the arrival of Chief James Craig?
crime is down statistically. Much crime is down.
That's part of a long-term trend.
It is. And, you know, homicides are down. This year, non-fatal shootings are up a little bit. But Detroit still remains, when you proportion out the crime versus 100,000 people, the standard measurement. As Forbes magazine wrote late last year, it's the most dangerous big city in America. The level of violence certainly has dropped, but of course the population has dropped too. One indication is from 1970 to 74, which were very volatile years in Detroit, and this will be an indication of that, 25 police officers died in the line of duty in just 4 years. In the last 4 years, only two officers have died in the line of duty, and one, sadly, was friendly fire. He was caught in crossfire of other police officers. So there has been a lessening of violence, but crime still is a problem in Detroit.
Chief Craig has encouraged Detroit citizens to arm themselves. That's not typical advice from a police chief of a big city. What do we know about his reasoning?
Well, he speaks the same sort of line on that the NRA does. In fact, he was the front.
It was a cover story.
He was on the cover of their magazine last year, and a quote from him that said something like, "We don't want to be victims of violence," something like that. So he thinks that people should exercise their Second Amendment rights, arm themselves, and he thinks that is a deterrent, and he thinks that that has been a deterrent in Detroit, and that's of course a tough thing to prove. But that's his point anyways, and that does go against a lot of the thinking of big city law enforcement officials and mayors. However, Coleman Young, who was mayor of Detroit for 20 years, he never would have been on the NRA magazine cover, but he didn't want to see people disarmed. He was closer to Chief Craig's position than maybe a lot of other leaders might be in America.
I want to look big picture for a second. You mentioned the two unarmed shootings in Dearborn. Of course, we've seen different events in Ferguson and Baltimore and New York and other cities because police shot or hurt or killed unarmed people of color. If a death like that happened in Detroit, what do you think might be the factors in how people react?
Well, that did happen almost exactly a year ago, last April 27th. As I wrote, it was the same day that crowds were gathering in Baltimore, which they had been for a few days, over Freddie Gray.
Right, but the guy you're talking about had a hammer in his hand. Well, you can't say he was unarmed.
Well, exactly. However, people didn't know that. What they knew initially was a man had been shot in his house or his father's house by a task force that involved Detroit police and at least some federal agents, including an agent from ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. The scene got very tense very quickly and somewhat unruly, and there was a lot of anger. And the police officer, the ranking police officer who was there at the time happened to be white, Assistant Chief Steve Dolent. He called for Craig and said, "Hey, they're asking for you." He came out there. He got the facts. He told people right away, this guy had a hammer. He was a felon. He was wanted for armed robbery. He was a parole absconder. He put those facts out there to the neighbors. They did calm down and waited to see what would happen. And a few months later, Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy said it was a justified shooting. He did come at the agent with a hammer. You know, every incident is different. And so I don't know that we can make a blanket prediction. I think it's fair to say that Craig has won at least temporary admiration of a lot of Detroiters and respect. And they see he's done a very good job, much better than most chiefs as far as communicating with the public. He makes a lot of appearances, small and big. He's in the media a lot. He's very available. I think that that's a helpful situation. And the fact that the Detroit police still is about 60% African-American, that helps in a city that's about 80% African-American.
Bill McGraw is with Bridge Magazine and the Detroit Journalism Cooperative. You can find his story today in Bridge, and because we're a partner in that cooperative, we'll be posting it as well on Michigan Radio's website. Great work, Bill. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks very much.